Good Thursday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever been in an earthquake? I mean the kind that causes you to fall over and buildings crumble and cars drive off the road. Those earthquakes are terrifying, aren't they? Especially if they happen in the middle of the night. So join me again in the prison dungeon in Philippi, Macedonia, about 2,000 years ago, where I left you yesterday. Paul and Silas had been arrested and beaten and thrown into this pitiful dungeon. But rather than screaming and cursing, believe it or not, Acts 16:25 reports, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And I think we can add, they were listening in astonishment. Who prays and sings after a beating? Suddenly, everything changed in that dark dungeon. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and all the prisoners' chains came loose. I presume that means the anchors in the dungeon walls to which the prisoner chains were attached broke free from the walls, as did leg stocks and other things. Suddenly, the prisoners were loose, and the doors flung open. The jailer awakened, stunned and terrified by the earthquake. In fact, the record reports, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Does that seem like an overly radical response by this jailer to an earthquake? Well, in those days, a jailbreak cost the guards their lives. Remember what happened in King Herod's prison when an angel freed the Apostle Peter, according to Acts chapter 12? In the dark, Paul cried out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Acts 16, verse 29 and 30. Now let's not rush past this remarkable scene, my friends. It should not be difficult for us to place ourselves in that dark dungeon, feeling the earthquake, hearing the chains break and the doors burst open, hearing the screams of frightened prisoners in the dark, and then Paul's call to the terrified jailer. As the jailer comes rushing in with a torch, the pitch dark is illuminated just a little bit. The smells are nauseating, I'm sure. There they sit, Paul and Silas, with bleeding backs, yet praising God they are alive, and the jailer begging for an explanation. Why? Why did the jailer call them sirs, and why did he ask them that question? So what would you say if a person in a similarly chaotic moment asked you, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul's answer has been quoted millions of times over the centuries in such situations. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Acts 16, verse 31. What does it mean, my friends? May I give you three important truths to grasp here? First, salvation from our sin condemnation requires that we believe the truth about Jesus, that he is God the Son, incarnate here on earth, and therefore his atonement death is sufficient for God to forgive the sins of any person. Believe that his resurrection defeated his death, and Jesus is therefore alive and in heaven today. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." John 14, 6. Second, do you notice Paul did not use the word Christ when declaring to the jailer whom he must trust? Why? The jailer was a Gentile, and the word Christ means Messiah. For the Jews, that aspect of Jesus' identity is very significant because it proves he is the living fulfillment of many Old Testament Jewish prophecies. But for this Greek jailer, he was not looking for a Messiah. He was desperate for a Savior. Third, did you notice Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved"? The word "Lord" was very significant in this moment. This Roman jailer's allegiance was to the Roman Caesar, and of course those in command over that prison. They were his lords. They held his life in their hands. But here, Paul challenges the jailer to realize Jesus is the ultimate Lord and King over all. Why? Because Jesus is all-powerful, as he proved by his miracles. Because Jesus is creator and sustainer of life and all he has created, according to Colossians chapter 1. And therefore, as this jailer placed his full trust in Jesus as Savior, he also submitted his entire life to Jesus as his Lord, his King. Now, please notice the very next verse. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and to all others in his house. At that hour, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Acts 16, verse 32 to 34. It seems to me the jailer entrusted the rest of the prisoners in that jail to other guards while he took Paul and Silas to his home. Why? I believe that in his sudden spiritual hunger for life and death answers, the jailer believed only Paul and Silas could give him the truth, which had become the most important thing to him that night in the earthquake. Not only did he want the spiritual vitality he believed Paul and Silas had, the jailer wanted his family to have a chance to experience it also. Do you notice the great joy this jailer experienced, both when he trusted Jesus and was baptized, and as he watched his household do the same? The earthquake that night had not only shaken a prison, it had shaken this jailer awake to the truthfulness of his desperate need for a Savior and his responsibility for the spiritual condition of his household. Pause. Have you noticed the complacency and apathy that can become all too familiar for most of us in our comfortable world? In God's great love for that jailer and the entire town of Philippi, God sent an earthquake to shake things up. What might God be planning to shake up your life and your town? Do you see God is motivated by his love for you and me and his deep desire for us to live in the same outrageous joy the jailer experienced that night? It's the joy of certainty that sin bondage no longer holds you, that the Lord Jesus Christ has set you free forever, and he is ready to reign as King in your life. And I'll be here waiting for you tomorrow.